Thank you. Hey, Leonard. Hello.
You're a big magic guy, right?
I'm going to sit down because I heard it's an hour.
So we know you're a big magic guy.
Yes, sir.
So what's the most valuable card that you have? And kind of what do you think your whole deck's worth?
The most valuable card I have is a number 81 out of 100 serialized One Ring card from the Lord of the Rings set. I think I bought it for like around 20,000, but I think it's worth around like 65,000 now. Yeah. I have a few cards that are like that. Yeah. I have a Zuladok deck that's like all colorless, and I think that's my most expensive deck. And there's a lot of serialized cards in there. So.
Collection then, if you had to put a value on
my whole collection, I'll probably say a little over a million, maybe. Yeah, yeah.
Who do you think on the team would be most likely to
win Dancing with the Stars? Ooh, that's a good question. I'll probably say Spoon, just because I feel like he's gonna give it his all. He has a lot of character. I don't think he's a great dancer, but I think he's gonna give it his all, you know. I didn't play peewee football. I didn't play football until I got to high school. And I went to Mainland High School, so we're Buccaneers. Yeah. I started later. Yeah. Thank you.
You're a California guy from Bakersfield. How does it feel to be on the big stage back at home?
It feels amazing. I mean, to be on the big stage after such a long career, you know, I've been in the league for 11 years. And to have it back home in California, it means a lot, especially with this group of guys. Yep, thank you. Yeah, shout out to the 12s back home. It's been an incredible experience having the home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Y'all really showed up, and I'm expecting y'all to show up again this Sunday.
Been in the league for over 10 years. Edge rushers, historically, they've been the sexy names. But recently, yourself, Byron Murphy, the interiors really made a big difference these playoffs.
Yeah.
Do you think the NFL is starting to catch up and see how valuable you guys are?
Yeah, I think so. Like you said, the edge players, you know, defensive ends, outside linebackers, they make a lot of like splash plays, big fancy plays, like sack fumbles and things like that come from the edge most of the time. But interior players, you know, especially when you could play the run and get after the quarterback, pressure up the middle, you know, stepping on the quarterback's toes, a lot of times is affecting the quarterback a lot more than edge presence. Yeah. I really just want to start with our connection. You know, I tell the guys because I'm year 11, I've seen a lot of teams that have talent on all levels. You know, every team at this point in the NFL has, all pros, pro bowlers and stuff like that. And I think it's really the teams that can come together, play together as one that really end up making it this far. Yeah.
Can you give me some player to Pokemon comps for yourself, Sam, JSN, and we'll go Mike McDonald as well.
Okay. I'll say I'm like a Blaziken for myself. we joke around already on the team and call Derek Hall Geodude, which is pretty funny. He doesn't like that one. and then, you said Mike?
Sam?
Oh, Sam. I say he's like Mewtwo. Yeah, he's smart, good leader. And then I'll say Coach Mike is meow. Hey, what's
hey,
up?
Nice to see you again.
Nice to see
I have
you
some
too.
Slime for you and
awesome.
Football here.
Let's go. Thank you. I like that you trust my hands.
You need to catch something at some point.
Thank you.
What has been the most exciting part about being able to be at the Super Bowl?
Honestly, just experiencing this with my teammates. You know, we've been through the grind together. We've been through a lot of ups and downs throughout the season. A lot of veterans on this team have had similar stories to me where they, you know, been traded, been on a lot of different teams. So I just know how special this moment is for the guys and how much work we put into it. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I've known him for a long time. I've seen him grow as a human and as a player. I was around him when he was a freshman at USC and as a rookie on the Jets. And, you know, for me to be one of the leaders on the defense and him being the leader of the offense is just a crazy, like, full circle moment, you know. I'm probably going to get Sam now that you – yeah. Yeah. He's probably going to get mad as getting in his pretty hair and stuff, you know, but I got to get him. Yeah, thank you.
For for many years, and then you make the move to Seattle. What's been your favorite part being in Washington?
I would just say the fan base, the 12s. You know, I remember my very first game as a Seahawk. We had an away game in Baltimore. It was a night game, and we got back to Seattle after losing like 40-3. It was a bad loss. It's like 3 a.m. I'm getting to my car and driving home, and there's fans outside of the our facilities like cheering for us on our way home. And that was something I never experienced before. You know, like playing in New York, if you weren't winning by halftime, like the fans are leaving, we're probably getting booed by our own fans and stuff like that. Whereas out here, you know, they really stay in it. They're really diehard out here. Yeah.
Going through all that, does that kind of make it more special to get to this stage now?
Yeah, for sure. I think it makes it special a lot more. I mean, this moment a lot more special. You know, I've been through a lot of ups and downs. I've been through trades. And, you know, after the win last week, so many of my teammates came up to me and just told me how much they think that I deserve this because, you know, they know my story as well. So it definitely makes this moment feel more special.
The Legion of Boom was still a thing.
There's yeah.
Bearing this defense you have now to that one, I guess, what's kind of your take on kind of hearing all that?
I mean, personally, I don't like comparisons just because every team is different. We obviously have a whole different, like, not a single player on that Legion of Boom defense is on this defense. But we love that defense. We respect them. They're legends at, you know, in Washington. And, you know, I'm proud that we could have our own name, too, because I think we're also just as good. Yes, sir.
Talk about how much your personal support system has been for you, whether that be family or your wife.
What's that?
Talk about support throughout the season. It's a long season.
Yeah.
So for you, out of that, who would you like to say thank you to? What message would you have for them just looking at the season before you went to the game on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I really just want to say thank you to my wife, Haley. We've been through a lot together. We've been together since USC. So she's really the only person I can say that knows my journey almost more than I do, to be honest. She's been there through the trades. She's helped me move from house to house. She's been there through injuries when I could barely move around the house, and she's cooking food for me. So she's my number one support system. And I remember, you know, when the confetti was falling 2 weeks ago, you know, it was all excitement and smiles when I was with my teammates. But I remember as soon as I hugged her, it was just like a flood of emotions because you could kind of feel all that history hitting you at once in those moments. That's a good question. Thank you. The one statement I would have for my child now to the future is to just trust yourself, believe in yourself. You know, I've been at this for a really long time. And, you know, if I didn't trust the process, I probably would have given up a long time ago when it was hard. So just keep pushing when it's hard.
Yeah.
I've said this before. He's one of my favorite coaches I've been around. And it's because of how he coaches me and teaches me as a man, not just as a player. And, you know, I've talked a lot about how me growing as a man off the field has helped me be the player that I am on the field. And I think that's something that Aiden does a really good job of, is caring about the man, caring about the person. And, you know, he's very passionate and excited about what he does as a coach. I just want to say I appreciate all the fans out there, all the 12 supporting us in the UK. I know it's hard times, but we appreciate your staying up the long nights and all that stuff. We appreciate all the support. Thank you. What's that?
Where did the nickname the Dark Side come from?
We were talking about it. Me, DeMarcus Lawrence, Jay Reed, Ernest Jones, some of the leaders on the defense. We just kept hearing comparisons to the Legion of Boom, and, you know, we kind of thought that it was time for us to have our own name pretty much. And we had a few names come thrown at the wall, and I think the Dark Side stuck because one of Coach Mike's messaging is, you know, a play style and a place that nobody wants to play. And in Seattle, it gets dark during the winter times, and, you know, we shut some teams out this year with, you know, no points on the board. So we have a very, like, suffocating defense, I would say, and I think that's why we came up with the Dark Side.
So you're from USC. To now be here at this big game, just what does it mean for you, and you know, what does it mean just for the USC legacy to have so many great players playing such a big game?
I mean, it means a lot. A lot of the guys on this team I play with at USC, Uchenna, Peely, Sam Darnold. It's part of our legacy. You know, we played together at USC, which was one of our, you know, a huge prominent school, and to be able to bring a ring back, and you know, it's big for our school as well.
Football team, and I have two quick questions for you. So your first one is, if you were to choose any female athlete to throw you a touchdown, who would it be?
Serena Williams.
That's my favorite. Second one, you've obviously checked off this as a bucket list item, making it to the Super Bowl. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is another bucket list item potentially playing for Team USA or for any other team at the LA 2028 Olympics?
That would be really cool. I played rugby actually before I played football. And, I obviously had more opportunities in football to get scholarships and things of that nature. So I ended up quitting rugby and focusing on football. But it was a dream of mine at one point to be an Olympian because of rugby. So if that would be really cool to be able to accomplish both at some point. Yeah, thank you.
NFL player that you would think for Team USA fly football?
Who would I pick? Jackson. Yeah, he's an athlete. He got great hands. He's smooth. I think he would be a great candidate. Yeah.
To the NFL, who was one veteran that you can say really helped you when you were a rookie in your early ages to get you to the player you are today?
I'll say DeMario Davis. He's a linebacker for the Saints. He was on the Jets when I was young. And, you know, at the time I was really young and it was hard for me to find my place in this career. And, you know, especially in New York where the media was, it was a lot. And I think he was really strong in his faith and a really grounded man. And I think he really helped me calm down as a rookie.
What can you take from those two destinations that coming to Seattle and now being in the big game of the Super Bowl?
What about the Jets and Giants?
Just being in that New York market, like you mentioned, you know, the pressure is the biggest market in the world. You go to Seattle, you're able to find your footing, and now you're in the biggest game possible. What did you learn from being a Jet, being drafted there, then going to the Giants, and now, of course, being the Seattle Seahawks?
I learned to just, like, not focus on all the noise. I think sometimes when you're in New York and those big markets, there's a lot of media, a lot of stuff pulling your attention away from football. And when I was young, I was given into it. I was like, you know, I wanted to be a part of the lifestyle and all those things. Where when I got to Seattle, it feels like a college town almost. There's like, there's not much going on outside of football. The guys aren't really going out or like, you know, clubbing and things of that nature. Everyone's like, it makes us pretty close, and it makes the fan base a lot stronger. It feels like a college town.
Yes, sir. You are.
I appreciate that. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Back to your childhood, what's your first memory of the Super Bowl?
My first memory of the Super Bowl was watching it with my dad. My favorite Super Bowl, and the one that comes back to me every time I think about the Super Bowl, is the Cardinals versus the Pittsburgh. And, you know, I remember James Harrison returning that really long interception, and Troy Polamalu was one of my favorite players. So that was my favorite Super Bowl of all time. Sorry, what's that?
Talk about your faith boldly. How does your faith put this game into perspective?
It's huge. That's something that's a part of our tradition before games. You know, after I take it all in and break with my team and stuff like that, I like make sure I find my wife on the sideline and she prays for me. And I get to like just embrace her and our future baby. And I think a big thing that we do is like we pray for safety and things like that. We never pray for like wins or losses, and we understand that, you know, all that type of stuff is like fleeting, and you know, the faith is something that's going to be our foundation.
In addition to faith, community is important to you as well. Can
yes.
you tell me how you serve others and what that means to you?
Yeah, the community is a huge thing for me and my wife. She grew up giving back a lot with her family, and then you know, we've been able to have the opportunity even this year to give back in ways that really relate to me, because I grew up homeless at times and didn't have places to stay. And, you know, so it's surreal for me to be in moments like this now, because I was a homeless kid at points. And, you know, I think it's a huge message for me to go to shelters and things like that and let people know that I was once in their position. And they're kind of like, you could tell it means a lot to them. Yeah.
Can you talk to me about what your Japanese heritage means to you? And I know you recently visited Japan as well. Talk to me about that.
I wish I could say it means a lot. It does though. But you know, I don't really know too many of my family's history. I did do my 23andMe thing and I found out that it was accurate, but yeah, I do have a small percentage of Japanese on my dad's side, and then my mom's side of the family's from Spain. So I'm kind of like all over the place, and it does mean a lot for me to represent anyone of my heritage. My favorite part is just they just feel like they're ahead in ways of, you know, like the streets are clean, the transportation's amazing. They just have fine detail in everything they do. Yeah.
Last question is, what would your message be to just Asian American athletes out there? You know, often not a lot of representation. What would your message be to them?
My messaging would just be to keep going, believe in yourself, don't give up, and don't believe in the doubters.
What's up, Leonard? How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Super Bowl I'm covering with Special Moves and Fan Side.
Nice.
I would love to ask you, what was the easiest part about your transition playing from, you know, playing with the Jets versus the Seahawks?
The transition from the Jets to the Giants and then Giants to the Seahawks. Yeah. Okay, so it was easy coming from the Jets to the Giants because we shared a stadium. So when I got traded from the Jets to the Giants, I didn't have to move. You know, that same season, I was able to stay in my house. I wasn't rushed to, like, get on a plane and pack bags and, like, move across the country. So it was a lot harder for me to move from the Giants on the East Coast all the way to the farthest point on the West Coast. I had to go by myself, stay in a hotel for a few weeks. My wife had to stay back, pack all of our bags, and get our life situated. So I would say it was a lot harder on her than it was for me. It was easier for me to just pick up and go. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Good to see you.
Is this what you dreamed about when you were skateboarding around the city's campus?
Oh, man. To be honest, I wouldn't necessarily say I was a huge dreamer in a way where, like, I'm like, oh, I need to play in the Super Bowl one day. I need to get drafted one day and things like that. I was always kind of like an in-the-moment type of person. So when I got to USC, I was just in the moment. Like, I wanted to win the championship at USC. When I got to the NFL, that's when I started thinking, like, okay, now I'm in the moment. I want to win a championship with my team. And I'm kind of always loyal by a fault in that way where, like, regardless of our team's position, I'm, like, always thinking that, you know, next year we can do it. Next year we'll get it done. And I'm glad that mindset, that persistence has finally caught up to me. And in year 11, I'm finally able to go with this team. I mean, most of all, just experience and leadership. I think we have a really good combination mix of older players, older vets, and also like just young, talented guys. And, you know, I think Ernest and those guys really have brought some great leadership to the team. Yes, sir.
What would be your advice to your young player having to come out of college and go to a market like a New York City and deal with the mass media? Like, what would be your advice for them?
Yeah, I was just talking about that. I would just say just be yourself. Just always understand that you can control the narrative. You can control your answers. Even if someone asks you a question that you're not comfortable with, you can control what you say. So even if you're answering something, you know, you don't have to answer the question pretty much. And just cancel out all the noise pretty much.
Stay focused and continue to play in your 11th year in the National Football League, where it's a three-year average.
Yeah. Well, I will say, you know, I think people expect that it gets harder for you as you get older, but for me, it's been getting easier as I get older. I'm finding more and more ways to take care of my body. I'm finding more ways to cancel out all the noise, all the exterior distractions. It's just getting easier and easier for me to lock in on what matters. And to me, that's my body, my diet, my family, my community, and my team. And it just keeps getting easier and easier each year.
Yes, sir. One of the most aggressive fronts in this league, most successful at getting after the quarterbacks. How were you guys able to instill this kind of culture in your room and holding each other accountable?
I think it starts with just our depth chart, our rotation. We have so many guys in our room that it creates so much competition. So even in practice, if I'm not getting to the quarterback in practice, someone else is going to get out there and start getting after the quarterback. It's going to put me in a bad position to on Sunday. Like, maybe I'm not going to get as many reps, and maybe I'm not going to get as many plays. And I think it creates a very healthy environment where we can compete with each other, push each other. We have love for one another and want everyone to succeed, obviously, but it's a friendly competition.
Along those lines, you spoke about your past, a little bit your rough start in life. How much more does this moment mean to you, being able to show that you can take a journey from where you started to where you're at right now?
It means a lot. And, you know, in moments like this, I'm trying to stay in the moment. I'm not trying to make the moment bigger than what it is. That's something that we talked a lot about as on this team of, you know, treating this game just like every other game. But at the same time, when I am around my wife, when I am around some of my best friends, when I am around some of my family, those are times when I allow myself to think about the journey and what it's taken to get in here. And it definitely makes this moment a lot more special. That's all right, thank you.
You've been in the league a while. You started with the Jets, then the Giants. Now you're here. How much do you attribute where you're at today to the coaching from where you were to where you are today?
I mean, it all adds up. I think every part of a person's life gets them to where they're at in these moments, the good and the bad. So I feel like even the bad moments, I appreciated them for making me stronger. I appreciated them for making me more resilient. And, you know, I every moment in our life has just taught us how to grow. I mean, I've had a lot of great coaches on all coaching staffs, you know, coaches that really care. And I think that's what maybe stands out the most to me here is it feels like every single coach on this staff cares.
Yes, sir. Describe the challenge that Drake May presents with his mobility.
His mobility is his biggest challenge, I would say. He makes great throws and things like that, but it's hard to rush discipline and not rush scared at the same time. You know, sometimes when a defensive line is preparing for a scrambling quarterback, you'll see sometimes that they rush differently than they normally do. So defensive line, we want to make sure that we're still staying true to ourselves and then also being aware that he can make plays on his feet and that it may happen at times throughout the game and to just keep moving on.
What's the key to keeping him in the pocket?
Just understanding where he wants to step up, understanding where he wants to escape the pocket. Every quarterback is different. Some quarterbacks have to roll out of the, you know, towards the sideline. Some quarterbacks have to step up into the A's and B gaps and get more down vertical. That's kind of how Drake is. He likes to get more vertical. And that's something that we're going to have to stop. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Fight on.
How did USC prepare? You played in a ton of big games. How did your time at USC prepare you for this moment?
I mean, USC was just like New York. It was a big media, a big city. So I think playing in a media like that, playing in a big city like that, definitely prepared me for going to a place like New York. So when I got to New York, it didn't feel overwhelming. It didn't feel too big. I feel like I've been in a moment like that before.
Coach Aiden, how he cares for you as a man, even more so than a player.
Yeah.
Why is that important? How does that impact you?
To me, that's important. I'm sure to a lot of players, that's important because we're human and we all value connection and we all value community. So when you have a coach that you can connect with, that you feel has your best interests at heart, just like everyone, I'm sure can relate to teachers that they have had growing up that you could tell they just really loved seeing you grow as a person. It's the same thing having a coach like that. And I think players respond well and are more coachable when you could trust the coach. Sorry.
USC question. So when you were at USC, you played against Arizona State in 2013, and you gave up the USC gave up the most amount of points you did in your time as a college player when you guys lost 62-41. What'd you make about playing in Tempe that game, and what do you remember about that, you know, that game in any way?
Man, that feels so long ago, honestly. I think I remember that was probably like the most snaps I've ever played in my football career as well. I think they had like over 100 plays, so maybe that was probably contributed to it. They probably wore us down and got us tired out. Yes, sir. Dexter Lawrence. It's meant a lot to me. You know, when I first got to the Giants, it was my first time being traded, and I remember before I even got into the building, he reached out to me on social media, and he was like saying, "Welcome to the family." He sent me his number. So right away, I just instantly knew I could trust him. he's a humble guy for someone who is a first rounder and a talent player that he is. And I think we have a really strong brotherhood. I'm not sure if he's going to be here this week. No, not that I know of.
What advice do you give to him? I mean, you know, your career took a little while to take off, at least in terms of team success.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think he already does a great job of doing this, but just keep trusting the process, keep trusting yourself, and everything will work out. Just keep being a leader, keep being yourself. I think Dex does a great job of that. I mean, he's a great leader over there in that locker room. Everybody respects him on that team. And, you know, I know I miss playing with him.
I know you guys came to Brazil, from Brazil, a while ago. How was the trip to Brazil? How do you feel about being in Brazil, the country?
It was amazing. I went for my bachelor trip. The guy, Dexter Lawrence, that I just was asked about, he was with me on my trip. It was probably like 10 of us, and we were all D linemen. So we're like all 6'6 walking around Brazil. Everyone was kind of looking at us like they could tell we were not from there. But it was amazing. We went to a soccer game. We got to meet some of the soccer players after the game. Yes, sir, the Flamengo, yeah. And it was really fun to experience the culture out there.
Next year, the Seahawks play there. How do you feel about the stadium? I know you know the stadium right now.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to play there at some point, especially with the Seahawks. And every time there's an international game, in the NFL, I support it. Just keep spreading the knowledge of football across the world, and I think Brazil would be a great place for me.
Yes, sir. Nutrition in your body. What do you do to take care of your mindset before a game?
Oh yeah, mindset's a huge one too, and I think my wife also does a great job of that. She's a meditation teacher, breathwork teacher. So something for me that I learned maybe like within like the last 4 or 5 years for me. As I like to be calm before a game, because during the game, there's already so much emotion, so many ups and downs. Like you get like anxiety, you get butterflies and like all these different feels. So when I was young, I used to like to listen to like hype music and like get myself riled up before a game. And then I realized by halftime, I'm like almost like running out of energy because it's like so much happening. So where like now I do breath work, I try to keep myself really calm and peaceful. Hey, that guy right there, Blitz, my favorite mascot. I actually like to listen to music that doesn't have words. So it's really just instrumental. Like Krungbin is like one of my favorite bands. I got to see them live this year at Seattle, actually. And then once it gets closer to like leaving the tunnel, Paint It Black by Rolling Stones, that's one of my favorite songs. I think that should be the Dark Side anthem, by the way. Thank you.
If you were the headliner of the halftime show, what would you say?
What's that? That's a good one. I'd probably sing Painted Black by Rolling Stones. Yeah. Yeah, that's the song.
the greatest safety ever played a game, your father-in-law, what kind of advice is he giving you about this game?
I mean, he's given me a lot of advice throughout my whole career and throughout these last 2 weeks especially, because I've never been in this position before. I've never gone to the Super Bowl. He has 5 Super Bowl rings, so he's clearly been here before. And, you know, immediately after we won our last game and found out we were going to be going to the Super Bowl, everyone was asking me questions like, oh, are you feeling it yet? Are you feeling it yet? And I remember him just calming me down and being like, Leo, just be in the moment. You'll probably feel it on game day when you get there, and just allow yourself to just be in the moment, be with your teammates. That's the biggest piece of advice that he keeps giving me, is just enjoy this time with my teammates.
Is there just a little bit of pressure to maybe get to this game one day?
I don't think so, honestly. I think there was some friendly competition between each other. I remember I made a bet with him at one point that I would play longer than him. I'm getting close, but he played for a long time, I think 16 years. So I'm on year 11 right now. So I'm getting close, and every day I'm getting closer and knocking on that door, and I tease him about it. But yeah, he's just been a great role model for me, a great family member, and a good father for me. No, he wasn't upset. Not at all. I feel like he's been a great support for me all year. During camp, he comes to our facilities, he comes to Seattle, and, he's been watching me throughout camp. And then, even when we're playing the Niners, he's wearing Seahawks gear, and, I'm giving him the championship shirt and hat after we beat him. He's been huge. I mean, his football instincts are something that I've never seen before, to be honest. He just knows football when he's out there. And he jokes a lot about needing a Harvard education to play in this defense, but I think he's one of the smartest guys when it comes to football instincts on the field.
Reason left Dallas is because he didn't think he'd win a Super Bowl there. Now he's here. Yep. Kind of a call your shot moment. How gratifying do you think it is for him to see him get to this position after all the work he's
done? I mean, I know it means a lot for him, just like me and Sam Darnold. You know, a lot of vets on this team have gone through ups and downs. He's one of them. He's been with the Cowboys his whole career, and then he got traded towards the end of his career. And every day I tell him that he chose the right place to come. Yeah. I mean, accountability is huge, you know, especially when you could be self-governed as a, you know, player-led type of teams. Like, every staff, every team talks about how a player-led team is the best teams. And I think we really adopted that on this team. On our defense, you'll see, like, guys flying around. And if someone doesn't hold themselves to that standard, like, it gets corrected between ourselves quickly. Like, coaches sometimes don't even have to interfere because they see the players already taking care of it. What's that?
Are you ham for Sam?
Am I ham for Sam?
Yeah. Well, everybody say yay for me, but I'm saying ham for Sam.
Okay.
So I made this for Mr. Sam.
Okay, nice.
And I'm trying to all the players to wear it. So far, everybody wear it.
I can't wear it because I have hair.
Try it. Can you just put on hair?
Oh.
Come on, everybody. Ham for Sam.
Ham for Sam. Let's go. Oh. set the tone with physicality. I mean, I think from the beginning of time, I think football games are won up front on both sides of the ball, offensive line, defensive line. And the quicker, whichever side asserts dominance physically first is a lot of times going to wear the other side out. I mean, my Super Bowl dream was to just be dancing, the snow angels and the confetti, holding my wife, holding the trophy, and here it comes, man, and I'm excited.
What's your name, day routine? Like, if there's a song that gets you in the right space, what is it?
My game day routine is just to meditate, be calm before the storm. I like to be as peaceful as possible before the game. I can't get too hype and too much energy leading up to the game because there's already enough of that during the game. And then Painted Black from Rolling Stones is my hype song when it's time. How did I get into Magic? My little brother, Andrew Williams, he's seen me collecting Pokemon cards. I've been collecting Pokemon cards since I was a kid because I was born in the 90s and it was a big thing. And then around COVID time, I remember seeing the prices like just skyrocket up. And then I went back to my mom's house, found my old collection, started collecting again. And my little brother was like, hey, like, maybe you should try out Magic at this game that he plays. And I thought it was nerdy, honestly, which is funny because I'm already collecting Pokemon cards, which is kind of nerdy. And then as soon as he introduced it to me, I loved it. I just love strategy. The most rare Pokemon card, I have a first edition Charizard, but it's non-graded. How would I describe my game?
With one Pokemon.
Oh, with the Pokemon. I would say Blaziken. Fiery, passionate, and he kicks ass.
Like, the bird, Sam Darnold loves bird watching. If you were any bird, what would you be?
If Sam was any bird, I would give him a Seahawk. No, I would give him a Falcon. Cause I think he's decisive. He makes quick decisions, and he's a leader. Sir.
A lot of locker rooms now, slippers and slides have become very prevalent. Is that true?
What's that?
The importance of taking care of your feet, slippers and slides, it seems like it's come a big thing in the NFL. Is that true in Seattle? What's that been like?
Yeah, it's huge. I think last year I was dealing with some plantar fasciitis actually in my foot, and it was kind of holding me out of practice, especially towards the end of the year. Our equipment staff is one of the best in the world, I would say. As soon as they see stuff like this going on, they go and individually ask guys, you know, what works for them, what doesn't work. You get custom insoles, gel insoles. They go out and find the best technology, the newest technology all the time for cleats and casual wear. And, you know, shout out to EK and our equipment staff. Yeah. Honestly, I think he's always been a great quarterback, but, you know, anybody's going to have a lot of growth when you come from a rookie season to year eight. I think he's been through a lot of ups and downs. I think that's been a huge part of his growth as well. He's learned to cancel out all the noise, cancel out all the doubters, and then move on. And I think that's what it takes to be great at anything. You have to learn how to overcome failure, and I think he's done a great job of that.
What does it take from a mentality perspective, knowing, like, I mean, you're going to end up in the stat sheet a lot, but sometimes it's not always going to be you. You're just clearing out space for linebackers to kind of have those functions.
Yeah, I mean, we take pride in that. We take pride in being able to stop the run with too high safety. We take pride in being able to get after the quarterback without blitzing. And with the type of guys that we have in our room, this is something that we've wanted from the beginning. We always talk about being the tip of the spear. We talk about our defense being the tip of the spear of the team, meaning, like, you know, when the going gets tough, we want our defense on the field. And then we feel the same way with our defensive line within our defense. So it's like, okay, when it's 2 minutes, who's going to get to the quarterback? Who's going to get that strip fumble? Who's going to stop that run play? And our defensive line has the right guys for it.
What's your biggest financial flex? I asked Chris Jones. He says he's got financial flex. Chris Jones says he has the $1.5 million Tiffany Patek. Other guys are more savvy and say they go to Costco and save money. So it could be either extreme, but what's your biggest financial flex?
My biggest financial flex would probably be my card collection, honestly. I have one card that's non-graded. It's a serialized one ring from Lord of the Rings, Magic the Gathering set. I bought it for around $20,000, but I think it's like around $60,000-$70,000 now. So it's cool to see that the cards appreciate and that they hold value. It's like an investment. That's at least what I tell my wife.
It's auctioning right now for $5,000.
I wouldn't personally buy it. I think you can get that same card graded for the same for a lot cheaper. I guess if it's Jake Paul's, it makes it more expensive. I'm not sure.
Oh, it's Logan Paul's. You wouldn't pay it. My bad. You wouldn't pay a premium just because it's Logan Paul's?
I wouldn't personally. I'm not a huge – I mean, I'm sure he has fans, but I'm not a big fan. I was a diehard fan of the Steelers, honestly. I think I was just a fan of their defense. I was a fan of Troy Polamalu and all those guys. He went to USC. Fight on. Colorless is my favorite deck. I run Zula Doc. And then also lately I've been running a lot of like blue red. So it's like spell slinging, combo-y. You kind of like burn the whole table at once. Yeah. In the blue red? I started off with Garrison Starn. I broke it down and went to Vivi. And then I got bored of CEDH because you see all the same combos all the time. And now I'm building Azula from the Avatar set. So I'm adding some black, but it's still burn style. Yeah. I mean, one of the best secondaries I played with. Not only are they smart and they're just in the right place at the right time all the time in coverage, I just like the way they tackle. You know, as soon as I got here, being around a guy like Witherspoon was a rare thing for me to be around. I never seen a guy that small picking up, slamming guys, hitting guys out of their cleats. You normally see, like, defensive linemen and linebackers doing that type of stuff. So to get that from your secondary means a lot. I think we're the dark side. What's that? The dark side means a lot. It just means all the work we put in, the accountability, the standard we hold ourselves to when it comes to just effort and play style, we've been able to live up to that and not just be lip service. So it means a lot to me. It means a lot that I'm a leader of that defense. And we have a lot of great guys on this defense. What's that?
Favorite Bad Bunny song?
DTMT. Yes, sir. I don't think I can name another one. Okay, how you doing, man?
And we wanted to know, have you ever been in a mosh pit?
I've never been in a concert mosh pit. Okay. I've been in some football mosh pits. Yeah. Yeah, it's usually in training camp when we have a joint camp. I don't know if you guys know about that at all, but like whenever you have a joint camp, it's like we're pretty much practicing at another person's facility, and it's always pretty hostile. So one wrong shove after the whistle, both teams are just swarming the field. I've never been in a mosh pit like that, though. Oh, yeah, Rolling Stones is one of my favorite bands. I don't know if that's hard rock, but Paint It Black is like one of my favorite songs. That's what I like to listen to on game day.
I love that song. And also, I go to the school every year. I interview players every year. This one's a really emotional one. I've been a Seahawks fan most of my life.
Let's go.
When the Seahawks won Super Bowl 48, actually, that was the only time my dad ever hugged me. So there's a lot of strong emotions attached to these games. Like, for all the fans out there that are behind you, I know, man. My therapist told me, this is all about Super Bowl 49 for me, man. We were this far away, and it's that team that was just out here that took it away from us.
He's been on a plant-based diet for a little while. Yeah. You can't tell.
I can tell.
Yeah, it's just, I've been working through it, but my therapist thought it would be good to just get out here and just tell you that, just to give words of support, and I'm cheering for you on Sunday.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate that. We got him for you.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
What does Lawrence mean to this defense coming here, and what does coming to Super Bowl mean for him?
For me, it means a lot to have him here. I know his journey pretty well. He's been in the league for a long time. I was a big fan of his from afar. He's a great player, been through a lot of ups and downs. So I know how much this means for him. And then for our defense, you know, just the leadership and his playmaking ability just has been huge for us this year. I mean, we've single-handedly won games because of some stuff that he's done this year. You know, two touchdowns in one game. Forced fumbles, causing interceptions. He's just a playmaking machine, and I think his football instincts are through the roof. What's that?
You came from the Giants?
I came from the Giants, yes, sir.
Hate the Cowboys?
I did hate the Cowboys, yeah. And he was one of those players that I hated, to be honest. Yeah, just because I remember a specific play where Saquon was hitting it in the C-gap or the B-gap, and he kind of like shed from the outside back into the inside and like punched the ball out. And that's kind of something that's been a signature of his throughout his career, is how he can find the ball. And I'm glad he's doing it for us now. Tyron? Tyler? Oh, yeah, Tyler 73. Yes, sir. I played against him. I mean, I think he's a great player. Yes, sir.
What does Coach Mack did from year one to year two? He says he's been more connected in year two. What did he do, you know, in between?
To me, as a leader, I think he showed vulnerability. I think one of the first meetings that we had when we got back for OTAs, he expressed that, you know, it was his first time being a head coach last year and how he had all these areas to improve on. And he was super open and brutally honest about where he felt like he lacked and where he felt like he needed to grow. And I think to see the head man like that be so vulnerable, it allowed all of us to be like, okay, we all have room for improvement. We all have room to grow. And I think it created an environment where like we can really give each other advice and talk to each other without anyone taking it personal.
I'm at Gray.com. What does faith, family, and football mean to you?
That's a great order to put it. Faith first, family second, and then football. Without those two things, I wouldn't be able to have football. My family means everything to me. My wife has been a huge part of my journey back to my faith. I didn't really grow up in a religious household. I didn't really grow up going to church. The only time I ever went to church as a kid was if I stayed a night at a friend's house on Saturday night, and Sunday morning everyone's getting ready and putting suits on, and I'm kind of like, what's going on, you know? And then I would just volunteer to go with their family, and that was pretty much my only experience of church growing up. Recently, We have these PAO events in the NFL that are, you know, Christian conferences pretty much. I had a teammate, Nate Soldier, on the Giants. He sponsored me to go. And since then, I've been really growing into my faith, and my wife has been a huge part of that.
Yes, sir.
But I want your insight. I know you're not going to give the game plan away here, but the Patriots have run a lot of 6-0 line, a lot of jumbo package here throughout the playoffs. What are some things that you're looking at when you see that film and some things that you might can attack?
I mean, something I'm looking at, something I respect about their game is they're like old school football. They like to, you know, they like to run the ball. They like to set up the run game. They like to play big. They want to win in the trenches. And that's old school football. That's winning football. And I think we have created that on our team as well. So this is definitely one of those games that's going to be won in the trenches.
I know that McDaniel's offense with Tom Brady at the helm. Obviously, Drake May, a little bit of a different style of quarterback. But what are some similarities you still see in those play calls between those two?
Between who?
Between when Josh McDaniels had Brady and now with May.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest difference to me is May is a good scrambler. He's a great passer. He has great pocket presence, though, and when he feels pressure, he's not afraid to just put his foot in the ground and hit it downhill. And I think that's what makes him such a threat. That's going to be a part of the game that we're going to have to stop is him scrambling. Yeah, he got out of there a few times, too. I'll give it to him. Yes, sir. Just patience and trust. I would say that's the biggest ones. You know, trusting the process, trusting him, trusting my family and my surroundings. That's really all I can owe it to is just trusting and patience. You know, I've been through a lot of ups and downs. I've been through a lot of trades. I've been through a lot of injuries. A lot of moments where I could have given up. And, you know, there's been times where I've almost wanted to. You know, I was like, okay, I'm in year 8. I'm in year 9. You know, I feel like I've had a long career. Maybe I can hang it up now. And, you know, in those moments, something told me to keep going, and I kept trusting the process, and now here I am.
How has that encouraged your own pursuit with Christ?
I've definitely had my own journey with it. Like I just said, I didn't grow up going to church. I didn't really get introduced to my faith until I was a little bit older, which is beautiful in its own way because it goes to show it's never too late. Everyone has their own journey. I don't think it's ever a comparable thing. You should never try to compare yourself compared to, you know, where someone else is at. Just take it on your own journey. Yeah, thank you.
What's one mental skill that separates champions from everyone else, knowing that football, especially championships, are mental just as much as they are physical?
I mean, that's a great point. I think it's definitely mental just as much as it is physical. Something that I've learned about my team this year is just our mental grit. And what I mean by that is my biggest point, I would say, is being able to forget and move on. There's times where plays are not going to go your way. There's times where life is not going to go your way. Just things in life are not going to go your way. But the longer you hold on to those things that are not working out for you, the longer things are not going to work out for you. So the quicker you forget those bad things, those negative things, and just move on, I think the better it is. What's that?
Tell me what the 12s mean to you or compare them to the fans when you were in New York.
I mean, this is the most incredible fan base I've ever played for. You know, high school, college, NFL, you name it. This is the best fan base I've ever been a part of. There's so many examples that I could point out. They're outside of our facility after away games, after home games. The stadium is just insane. It's been insane throughout the playoffs, having home field advantage. And I'm definitely looking forward to hearing them this Sunday. Richard Seymour, I would say. I got to meet him, actually. He worked with my agent, and I had a chance to watch film with him and things like that, and I think we had similar body types and similar game styles. I think USC just is a great program for the NFL. They frequently pump players into the NFL, and because of that, I think they know how to prepare guys for the NFL. And I think, you know, being in LA, it was a huge media market. It was a huge market. And then I got drafted to New York. So I think it really helped me, you know, adapt to a big city like that and understand what the market is like.
How connected are you with your former teammates?
We're really connected. I mean, we have Uchenna Nwosu on our team as well. The whole strength staff on our team is from USC when I was there. So it definitely means a lot for us. And when we look at each other, like, we remember those days when we were young and in college, and it was all just a dream. So to be in this moment right now is a good reminder for us to keep reminding each other where we came from.
And I to describe the Seahawks in three words. But before I tell you, you go first.
AI?
Yeah. Three words for the Seahawks. What would you say?
I would say connected, physical, and relentless.
Flying fierce and fast.
Pretty good.
What's the last thing you tell each other before you go on the field?
Best in the world. Yeah, and I think what's so cool about that is now we're here competing to be the best in the world. And all season, throughout camp, throughout practices, before we take the field, we look at each other in the eyes and we say, hey, man, we're about to get this done. We're the best in the world. And I don't think we say it from a place of ego or a place of overconfidence or anything like that. I think it comes from a place of trust and the fact that we trust each other. Yeah. Thank you.
How would you describe Mike McDonald as someone who's
ever met? I mean, the way I would describe him is we joke around and say that he's pretty much like an AI and that he's learning how to be human. It's just an inside joke, though. But I think he's just a really smart guy. He's just all about football. I mean, the way he treats us in the building is like his family. And I think he's just a really smart guy. That's the way I would start, yeah. Greninja.
Greninja?
Yes, sir.
You want a chance to pull it?
Yeah, let's go.
You don't like player?
I don't. What's the hits in here?
So you're looking for Vic Tini, Reshiram, and Zach Rom, Black White Rares.
Am I keeping it? Is there like a little card trick or no?
Code card off.
Okay.
Element to the front.
This
so
one?
Yep. And then you're good. Turn it over. Yeah, yeah.
So the last one will be the hit?
Yeah.
You want me to show it or?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Okay, energy. Here we go. That's a hit?
Yeah, it's a hit.
Let's
man.
Go. You got a sleeve?
No, you gotta keep that safe. Oh, that's good too. Double hit. There you go.
Let's go.
Last question.
Good pack, bro.
If you had to remove one of the OG starters, Charizard, Bulbasaur, Squirtle, which one are you taking out?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I might take out Charizard. I think Charizard is hype. Charizard is too hype. Yeah. He said I won't be offended. My favorite athletes growing up, Mike Tyson was one of them. My dad was a huge boxing fan. We watched him and Lennox Lewis, a lot of boxers. And then Troy Polamalu, DeMarcus Ware, James Harrison. Those are some of my favorites. Kobe Bryant, too. What's that? What country? Japan. Yes, sir. A specific person to bring out there? Maybe my daughter, just because she's a big anime fan, and that's one of her dream destinations to go is in Japan. I told her how I went there 2 years ago, and I got to watch like some of the sumo wrestling, and it was a great experience. The first Super Bowl I remember watching was the Pittsburgh versus Arizona Cardinals, and it was a huge game. Larry Fitzgerald was balling, and then Troy Polamalu was my favorite player, obviously.
What vegetable do you trust the least?
Broccoli. Because I'm not allergic to anything, but somehow I'm slightly allergic to broccoli. Yeah.
talked about being the best in the world. Talk about the fans of the 12s. How do they help you achieve that goal?
I mean, community and support is a huge thing that I'm talking about that helps us get to this point. And I think the way the 12 support this team, that backs this team, and the way they showed up all season for home games, it has been incredible. So shout out to the 12s. Thank you. Exactly in the order you just said. Faith first, family second, and then football. I wouldn't be able to have any of this without my faith and family. And I'm definitely still growing in my faith, but it's been a process for me. And I've been telling people to not compare their journey to anyone else's, and everyone has their own journey. And, you know, I'm really grateful for my family right now. What's that? That answered my prayer?
Prayer, like a blessing, anything you're,
Honestly, just being here in this moment. I've been on, you know, losing teams most of my career. I've been traded. I've had ups and downs. I grew up homeless as a kid. So, you know, honestly, even just being able to be drafted, be in this situation is already a blessing. And to now be here on the biggest stage is a dream come true. Thank you.
Elise Robinson, the 2025 Seahawks Fan of the Year.
Denise Robinson?
Elise Robinson.
Okay, shout out to Elise Robinson, Fan of the Year. We appreciate you. Go Hawks.
You got a great story, you know, all the stuff you've been through to get here. Obviously, you've got to be pretty excited about being in this situation. And what is everything you went through up to this point, how can that affect you the way you play on the field?
Honestly, it just makes me play with more passion, more heart, more want to. All the things that I've been through, you know, growing up homeless, growing up, you know, with my dad in and out of jail, he's still in prison now. It's just been all fuel. Not in a bad way, though. None of it has made me have any hatred or anything like that. It's just made me grow more resilient, more strong. And it makes moments like this feel even more special. And to have my wife and family members by my side who understand what I've been through, it means a lot to have them by my side right now.
On the defensive side, what do you guys really have to do to try and make sure you come out victorious, control the line of scrimmage? Yeah. What do you guys have to do?
I think you just said it, control the line of scrimmage. You know, I've been talking about this game being old school football. You know, they believe in old school principles of, you know, smash mouth football, run game, and so do we in Seattle. So I think both teams understand that this game has to be won in the trenches, and that's where it all starts. Good thing we have a guy that we call the Hammer, Derek Hall, and he's standing right over your left shoulder, so be careful. He might hit you.
All right, well, congratulations and good luck on
Saturday. Yes, sir. Thank you. The Hammer.
Question for you?
Yeah. What you got?
You have one thing to say about a guy who's a killer on the field, but a teddy bear off the field, and I think I'm speaking to him now. how would you connect the two, and you know, how would you transfer your mentality on the field to off the field?
That's a good question, man. Thank you. I would say I definitely have an on and off button. On the field. You know, some of my own family members see me play football, and they're just like, how is that even the same guy? Because outside of football, I'm a very loving, connected person. I get along with everybody. And then on the field, I like to think of myself as an enforcer. When something's going on, I want to be right there in the middle. I want to be right there in the mix. I want to make sure nobody's messing with my family. So I think that's part of it, just playing with pride. Yes, sir.
What's the coolest thing that's happened?
The connection, that's what makes this team special. I mean, every team in the NFL has pro bowlers, has all pros, has great players on their team. I've been a part of teams that are like that, that have just as much talent as we have on this team. But it's the drive, the want-to, and the connection to play for each other that makes this team special.
What's the best thing that's
you guys got here by beating the Niners and the Rams. How fierce is this division going to be next year to defend the title and go forward again?
Yeah, I mean, this has been an amazing division this year. It's kind of crazy. I feel like that's the only teams we played in the last month is the Niners and the Rams. And it's been back and forth, and it's been hard-fought games. A lot of respect for both of those teams, their coaching staffs, all the players over there. And, you know, we wouldn't be in this position without strong competition like them.
McCaffrey in that offense, or is Purdy getting a bigger role in the offense from what you guys see defensively?
What's that?
I mean, McCaffrey obviously has a big role, but do you see Brock kind of taking charge more of the offense, or how is when you approach them?
Yeah, for sure. I think McCaffrey's a huge part of their offense just because he's a dual threat type of running back. He makes a lot of plays in space. They like to get him the ball in open space and just let him work. But Purdy, you know, he just got a big contract. He's has a few more years of experience under his belt, and I think the team is trusting him a lot more with decision-making and letting him take over the offense.
What's the best thing that's happened to you since you guys won the NFC Championship?
Honestly, just that time on the field with my wife and my teammates when the confetti was falling, that morning after when, you know, I'm still kind of feeling that high of it all, just knowing that we're going to the Super Bowl, and just all that reminiscing that we did with the team, with my teammates that next day.
Nobody's asked you that you wanted people to ask you right now in this station.
I haven't really thought about it, but, you know, I feel like I've been able to give thanks to my loved ones, thanks to my family, thanks to all the people, the 12s, and everyone who's been able to support us to get to this position right now. Swimsuit? Derek Hall. Yeah. I'm confident in that one. I want to change that. Anthony Bradford. Tell him I said that.
Real quick, after the NFC Championship game, you talked about that high. Did you ever have a moment with Sam where you guys were like, man, we were on the Jets so many years ago? Like, what was that like, kind of reflecting with him to now be in this moment?
I actually haven't been able to have that moment with Sam yet. You know, although we've crossed paths a few times, it's always been like towards like him first getting there and me leaving. So we've like crossed paths a few times. We are close though, I will say, but we haven't had that moment yet. But me and Julian are really tight. We've been on the Giants for a long time together, and me and him have been having those moments a lot leading up to this moment. Yes, sir.
Talk about how Greg gave you a tip. The center was sliding. You took the gap. You got yourself a sack. How impressive is that kind of communication from a rookie on the offense? And how important is that same communication going to be on Sunday?
I think it's really impressive from a rookie to have the confidence to speak up and tell a vet that. And I think it just goes to show the testament of our team. We have that type of openness and trust in one another. And that's something that a relationship that me and Gray have been building and working on since OTAs. As soon as he got drafted and as soon as we've been able to work together, he was constantly picking my brain, asking me questions. We're giving each other advice all season. And that's just a small glimpse of what it looks like. Ah, man, I'm just most excited to just pass on my wisdom to my young ones and give them a life, you know, that's nicer than one I had to grow up with. Yes, sir. Thank you. Ooh, has it been an hour? Damn. Talking the whole time. Thank you. Ooh.